G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
A biblical perspective on life, culture and current events. This is 2020 on Vision.
And if you've got parents who are getting a little older or grandparents who are getting a little older, you will want to be listening to our conversation over this next hour. Of course, our Australian population is ageing. The good news is that we are living longer. And with declining fertility rates, both the number of older people is growing and older people represent an increasing share of the total population. Right now, one in six Australians are over the age of 65. One of the challenges right now, though, is that more than 400,000 Australians live with dementia. And that's expected to double over the next 30 years. So for many of us, the reality is that our parents and grandparents are growing older, and that means how we care for our aging loved ones puts us on a steep learning curve that we may not all be ready for. Well, Ben Boland is our guest through this coming hour. He's an aged care chaplain who writes extensively and speaks about aged care. In fact, something coming up that you might want to put in your diary, the Marsh Centre for Chaplain Studies in partnership with B.H. Carroll Theological Seminary is hosting a very special webinar, and it's entitled Ministering to Those with Dementia. A panel of experts from around the world addressing the webinar, including today's special guest, Ben Boland. Ben, a special welcome back to 2020.
Neil, as always, it's a privilege to be with you.
And Ben, you're going to be one of the guests on that webinar. How significant is this? Because, yes, you've got a panel of world experts, so it's like a global seminar. Is that the way you'd talk about it?
Yeah, it's going to be really exciting. I'm really looking forward to it. We've got myself, obviously, speaking from an Australian perspective. We've got one of the chaplains from Anna Chaplaincy, which is a UK church organisation. A lady from, I've forgotten one of the Norway or Denmark, and a gentleman from the US speaking. So it's going to be quite an interesting perspective on multiple fronts.
Now, our conversation over this hour, Ben, as always, it's framed in the context of our Christian faith. So let's start pretty early with this conversation and perhaps starting with where the Bible sits. What does the Bible teach about care for the elderly, because somehow or other our culture likes to somehow or other dismiss people who are aging, but bring us into some context here about what the Bible teaches about caring for elderly family members and elderly people in our community.
Yeah, Neil, I think that's exactly the place we need to start. And the Bible starts its conversation about dementia in terms of its conversation about what it is and who it is to be human. And that applies to us whether we are living with dementia or not, and irrespective of our age. And the Bible very clearly teaches that God created people, and indeed he made us different from the rest of creation in that he created us in his image. And because we bear God's image, and we bear that across gender, across race, across age, across any of the simple characteristics of our humanity, we are immutably valuable. Not only are we created immutably valuable, we're so valuable that God himself, Jesus Christ, died for us. So if we can start to wrap our heads around, and I say start because that's such a huge concept, I don't think any of us, or at least my brain's not big enough to fully comprehend that, but if we start with that place, we know that people are valuable, and their value is not in what they can do. People are not valuable because they're beautiful. They're not valuable because they economically contribute. They're not valuable because they have a job or don't have a job. They're valuable simply because they're human.
Ben, this sort of thing ought to be, for every Christian believer, really just part of the ethos of who we are, that people are valuable. But somehow or other, we can't ignore the fact that our culture's had a bit of a shift. And some people in our community, whether they be beginning of life or end of life, or when we're talking about the ageing, there's been a shift, and somehow or other we're seeing people as less important, as less valuable. But somehow or other, when we come back to these foundations from the scriptures, this needs to be a part of the life and the thinking of every Christian believer, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it's core business, and it affects all of us over our lifetime, in terms of we will all have moments when we are more productive or more beautiful or more powerful, less beautiful, less productive. But a core to Christianity is that our value is not based in any of those things. So it can't either be improved on or taken away.
Let me come to the fact that so many listening now, perhaps in, those sort of middle years, maybe you're enjoying raising your family. Your parents are still doing okay. Maybe your grandparents are, you know, at that time when they might be even needing to enter some level of aged care. Let's talk practical things. I know you love to talk about practical things around how we care for the elderly. So where can we start here with something that could be a takeaway for listeners at the beginning of our conversation? And let's keep it practical all the way through. But, you know, how we love our older people and how we love those living with dementia, because that's got its own challenges. Where do we start in practice?
I think we start with that position we've already had, that we need to love them. And loving people changes because people are different. So how we do that is different. The very primitive, and I say primitive in a positive sense, in that I think it applies to all Christian ministry, model that I teach in terms of aged care ministry is the three P's: presence, prayer, and pastoral care. And it really does start with prayer. If we love people, we're praying for them. Because as Christians, we know that we're not the powerful ones. It's God who is the powerful one. So we pray. That's a reflection of that reality. Secondly, we just turn up. If you think about the people you have close relationship with, you see them regularly. Now, we are blessed in a time where there's Zoom and Skype and WhatsApp and Facebook and all kinds of other ways of connecting too, which is wonderful. But by and large, and particularly for people who communication may be a bit of a challenge, and that applies for many people living with dementia, both young and old, turning up physically really is the best option if possible. So we need to pray. We need to be present. We need to turn up and be with them. Now, that doesn't mean we'll need to be there all day, every day. In fact, often lots of small visits are more powerful than long visits. So that's important too. And once we're there, we're going to be looking to provide pastoral care. Now, I know pastoral care can be a bit of a scary topic for some people, but it simply means looking to see how we can love these people once we're there. That could be something spiritual in terms of praying with them or reading the scriptures with them or singing a hymn with them. But it could also just mean sitting with them and sitting where they are. If I'm sitting with someone and they want to talk about Fergie tractors or geraniums, I'll talk about Fergie tractors or geraniums. Now, obviously, I'm looking for opportunities to talk about Jesus, and that's great. But I'm going to let them take the initiative when I'm with them.
So you're not there to push an agenda. I mean, these might be your parents. These might be your grandparents. Chances are they know you well and they have their own memories, and maybe there's some distortion that comes with the dementia. But you're implementing those three P's: being present, you're praying, and you're providing some pastoral care. And I love the way you framed that. Pastoral care is just looking to see how to love once you are there. And that's a really powerful thing. So those three P's: presence, prayer, and pastoral care. Now, that has its own level, no matter who you might be. But when you're a Christian believer And you might have concerns about a aging parent or an aging grandparent, and they have dementia. You've been endeavouring to share your faith with them for some time. They've not responded. Where do you start with effectively sharing Jesus with people who are living with dementia?
Well, I'm just going to take a quick sidestep there. I'll get to the question. But it's also important, while growing older is the highest risk factor for dementia, dementia can affect people right throughout the lifespan. So you can be a child with dementia. So it's quite uncommon compared to Alzheimer's, which primarily affects older people. But dementia can apply not simply to older people, but to younger people too. Now, how do we, to get back to your question, how do we share Jesus with people who are living with dementia? Well, I think we actually need to share it both with those who've known Jesus for decades and those who've never had a relationship with him. We need to do that lovingly. The gospel is not a bat to hit people around the head with. If we look at Jesus' ministry, he doesn't get up and yell at people. He doesn't beat people around the head. He loves them. He meets them where they are. In terms of a framework, how we can share Jesus and his love, I have a three-stage thing. It must be the preacher thing coming out. But I talk about informally, formally, and creatively in terms of ways that we can specifically talk about Jesus and his love to people living with dementia and, indeed, people not living with dementia.
And again, here, in the context of your three Ps, this is not a forceful initiative, is it? Because you're there to, if you're turning up and being there present and you're expressing love, you're actually not just preaching at someone or delivering a proclamation, but there's a certain level of practical sense in which your love is being expressed in your actions. How does all that look?
Yeah, I think we do need to be driven, but it's driven to love, not driven to beat people around the head. And it looks different depending on who the person is. So if we go back to the informally, formally, creatively mechanism. So informally is just when we're talking to someone and they say, oh, so what did you do over the weekend? What's happening in your life? Oh, I'm really looking forward to Bible study. I was at church on Sunday. So we're just giving the person an opportunity to respond to that. My model for chaplaincy and particularly for aged care chaplaincy is that when I'm visiting someone in their room or in a common area, they set the agenda. And I do that not because I don't have an agenda, but because I love them enough to let them set the topic. Because God loves them that way. So we'll talk about whatever they want to talk about. Having said that, I run a regular Thursday morning church service and other special events. And look, if you turn up to my church service, it's optional. It's not boarding school. We don't march you all down there. But if you come to those events, then Jesus is going to be front and center. So there's that balance between who sets the agenda and who wants to come or not to come.
And Ben, a lot of aged care homes, they have a chaplain just like you. And sometimes we might be not so familiar with that, or there might even be a little bit of suspicion about the chaplain. When you've got a chaplain in an aged care facility, that's a real bonus, isn't it? That's a real benefit. You can take advantage of the opportunity of introducing that chaplain to your loved one.
Most definitely. I mean, I would hope that the chaplain already knew your loved one, to be ruthlessly honest. But, yeah, it's a wonderful opportunity to partner with someone who has some expertise and is probably there more often than you are, if that makes sense.
Now, interestingly, Ben, when we're talking about a chaplain in aged care, you're not just talking about looking after little sideline needs. There's something front and centre that you have, and that is about faith. And bringing into the experience of those loved ones that hope that comes with faith in Christ. So let me ask you about people coming to faith. Is it too late once you've got a fairly severe form of dementia to actually have faith in Christ?
No. It's probably a little bit blunt, so let me expand that slightly.
Blunt is good, right, with that. No, it's not too late.
Well, look, there's an old line, between the stirrup and the ground, salvation can be found, to say that if someone's thrown from a horse and they're literally about to hit their head on the ground, God can and does save people in those last fraction of a second. In terms of the dementia space, it comes back to our theology of salvation. Is salvation a work of me, or is a salvation a work of God? And as I keep telling people here, unless you've got a time machine, then you can't go back and influence what happened when Jesus was crucified 2,000 years ago. It's historical. It's not something that's happening now. It's our response to that now. And more than that, in terms of dementia, faith is not simply a cognitive mental process. Now, that can be a bit confronting for people like me who come out of the Reformed evangelical tradition, and indeed for those of us who are quite cognitive and deep thinkers. It's a very comfortable place for me to live there. But faith doesn't exist there. Faith is something that God gives and God does and God transforms us through. It's not limited to my understanding. I regularly see older people and younger people too, but people living with dementia come to faith. Now, are they going to write 2,000-word essays on penal substitutionary atonement? No. Are they coming to faith? Yes. Is that a work of God? Yes. Is God limited by dementia? Never.
Well, I think what you're sharing actually is such a breath of fresh air that even those who don't have dementia ought to be able to take away something of a gem of what you've been sharing there. Because talking about coming to faith, not a cognitive process, faith something that God gives, what he does, that he transforms. And that means, I imagine, that in the moment when you are sharing your faith, when you are talking about the issues of the gospel, that God is able to do things in the moment, not based on memories, not based on whether you can think those things through, but in that moment, God is ministering into the life of that person. Is that the way you'd look at it?
Very much so. And it's God working, so it's not about their cognition or about my great giftings as an evangelist or as a great da-da-da-da-da. God chooses to use us in our brokenness to save other people in their brokenness because of his unbrokenness.
Wonderful. We're taking calls on 1-800-316-316. You can help direct where our conversation goes. And if you have parents or grandparents who are in this category, and you might be thinking, yep, we've got some of those family members in our family who's suffering with dementia, here's your opportunity to hear some really great expert insight. Let's take a call. Howard is in Beaudesert in Queensland. Hey, Howard, welcome along.
Thank you.
What are your thoughts, Howard?
Well, I'm coming at it from another angle. I'm 90 years of age, and I think I'm being cared for.
Wonderful. Yep. Are you still in your own home, Howard, or are you?
Yes, I am in my own home.
Okay, and this is a fabulous dimension, isn't it? And I'm just assuming that, and I'll get Ben's thoughts here, because so many of our elderly loved ones can stay in their own home a lot longer. Let's bring Ben in. Your thoughts here for Howard?
Well, it's lovely to meet you, Howard, and congratulations on 90. That's not a bad score, my friend.
Well, thank the Lord for that. I didn't expect that I would be this long, but still here. But I'm overwhelmed, if you put it that way, with my life. Okay? And
That's wonderful gratitude, Howard. That's inspiring for those of us who are not quite 90 yet.
So, Howard, let me just ask you, Howard. You're sounding great to me. Have you battled with any levels of dementia? Has anybody said, Howard, you just haven't got it all together maybe the way you did in your younger years? How are you feeling about your own ability?
I want to do my best to look after myself as much as I can and not be too much of a burden on my family.
Ben, thoughts here for Howard?
Howard, I love hearing what you're saying. I guess my gentle comment, perhaps, would be I hear lots of people say, well, I don't want to be burdened. I think we all feel that. But to some extent, isn't being a burden and leaning on each other part of our humanity? Don't we all need each other? I think...
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
From my perspective, I've got my dad's now living in a secure dementia unit. I've just gone down to see him, which is a 4.5-hour drive over the weekend. And is driving 8 hours plus a driving a burden? Yes, it is. But is loving him a burden or a privilege? Well, it's probably both. It should be a privilege, and we, as younger people, if that makes sense, although age is not a great descriptor, I suspect you're stronger than I am, but we do need each other. We are designed to be burdensome on each other.
So it's a matter of not feeling as though you are a burden, not being the one who is going to be troublesome to your own children. And I guess you've got to have all the planets aligned there. You've got to have children, grown-up children, adults, with the same sort of attitude too. And so this is a family culture issue, isn't it? Let me just come back to you on that, Ben, because the family culture, how this is going to work, and even role modelled for the next generations ahead, this is something you've got to work on even from younger years.
Yeah, unequivocally, this is a family thing, but I think it's actually more than simply a biological family thing. It should be a human family, and particularly a church family thing. So there are some people who are older who don't have children or whose children are unable, for whatever reason, to provide support. I remember being at a gathering in Sydney a number of years ago, and it was for 100-year-old birthdays. And there was a lady there who I didn't know, and I went down and had a chat to her. And she was 100 and something, I don't remember exactly the figure, but 100 plus. And she was saying both of her daughters were living in residential care, but she was still in her own home. So it is multi-generational, but it's also messy. In both a positive and a negative sense. But we do have a great opportunity to teach each other, both up and down, in this space.
Almost news time, and while I've got Howard on the line, I wonder, Howard, because you're clearly listening into our conversation today, you're 90 years of age, but you're still in your own home. I'm just wondering if you've got any reflection on just how valuable it is to have a faith-filled Christian radio station that you can listen into.
Oh, I love it.
And there's obviously some usefulness in there too. Keeps you thinking on the things of God. Keeps your faith strong.
I'm a retired Lutheran pastor, and faith is important to me, and that's what I seek to learn every day. Something, but I am suffering from dementia. And I have it takes me a while to think of things, but I have a physiotherapist who visits me every week, and she helps build me up tremendously. I'm thankful for that. And
wonderful.
That's what I'd like to share. When I was in ministry and I was visiting people, one chap said to me, This retirement's not all that it's cracked up to be.
In fact, Ben, I think we should take some calls and let listeners direct where our conversation goes. Let's hear from Nigel, who is in Mackay in Queensland. Hey, Nigel, welcome along.
Good morning, gentlemen. I just wanted to sort of add encouragement to anybody who's got aging loved ones. My mother-in-law has developed dementia over a period of time, and about 5 years ago we realized that it was coming to a stage where she wasn't going to be able to be independent living anymore. So because we were able to afford it and be able to readjust our lives, we managed to keep her at home in a granny flat, and we have carers coming, and we obviously put our own share of caring into that as well. But what I really want to encourage listeners to think about is the valuable love and care and humbling experience to looking after somebody who's older. I had no real concept of dementia before this all started. I was aware of the word, and maybe it was a forgetfulness. It was a difficult period of time in people's lives, but I had no concept. And since looking after her with my wife, it's been an amazing journey and privileged journey, and being very humbled. She was an amazing woman, and we hope to continue looking after her for as long as absolutely possible. But I do want to also say that the backing of our local church has been phenomenal as well. It's been wonderful to have that Christian caring and praying group of friends around us. We take her to church every Sunday, providing everything's running normally. And she appreciates going. Lots of people come up and talk to her. She's nonverbal now, and she's wheelchair bound. But what a wonderful experience. And, you know, I just say, encourage anybody, have a go if they can, if they can afford it and they're physically capable.
Wonderful stuff, Nigel. And the way you just framed that, a wonderful privilege, an experience that you have, which is something that, you know, I guess this is an attitude issue, and we'll get Ben in on that. But Ben, what are your thoughts here for Nigel?
Yeah, Nigel, thank you for calling in. And yes, it's lovely to hear someone articulating that privilege, and it is a privilege to care. It's also exceptional, again, from my biased perspective, to hear how wonderfully the church has been supporting you and your mother-in-law and your wife. I mean, that old saying, it takes a village to raise a child. I think it actually takes a village to care for older people, and particularly people living with dementia. And it's wonderful to hear that your church is really active and engaged with your mum in that space, in being prayerful, in just being supportive and going and talking to her, even though words are really hard for her now.
Nigel, let me ask you, because, you know, sometimes we're talking about the idea of ageing churches, and, you know, and sometimes that's a challenge too when there's not a lot of young people in church, and there's a thought about people who are, you know, in old ageing churches, but there's a certain responsibility, I imagine, comes to those who are in an ageing church to be aware of these sorts of things. Has this been your experience, Nigel?
Yeah, I think we would fit into that category where most of the congregation is over 50. There are a few children coming along and we welcome families, but it's very difficult for families to come when there are no other families there, and that's the age-old problem. But from a point of view of our health, of our aging congregation, we do look after each other. And it's a wonderful feeling that we are that village who are looking after each other in all respects. So it's an outpouring of God's love, which is not often seen in the world.
Yes.
And Ben, I guess this idea of being in church, if you have an aging church, the care for each other, and I've seen this happening, is where the older element of church life, they care for each other in special ways.
Oh, very much so. In fact, I would argue that we all need to be caring for older people and younger people. That's part of the church family.
Very good. Nigel in Mackay, thank you so much for a great contribution. Now, Talkback line is open on 1-800-316-316. 1-800-316-316. We're talking about dementia. We're talking about growing older. We're talking about, you know, we can extend things to talk about aged care facilities, and we can certainly talk some more about church and the role and responsibility that we might have in the culture of church life in caring for one another. So 1-800-316-316. Ben, we were talking about, and you said very definitively, age or dementia does not stop someone coming to faith. Let me ask you about those who have had a faith, perhaps in their younger years, and that's been disrupted by dementia. How do we sustain those faith feelings, those faith commitments in an older person who might be suffering with dementia?
Well, I think the starting point, again, is to remember that they need that sustenance. In fact, as Christians, that's why we're part of the reason why we're called to do church together, is that we need encouragement, whether we're 2 or 22 or 102. And all the things that we would do normally apply for later life. Engaging with scripture, engaging with prayer, engaging with church, and I don't simply mean building or even Sunday things, but the community kicks in there. And I mean, it's wonderful to hear Nigel talk about the care that his church has brought over his mum. And I want to encourage us too, because not all of us will have someone who's older or living with dementia in our world. And if that's not the case, then we don't have that in our biological family, or even perhaps in our church family, if you've got a younger church. Is there some way we can be engaging with older people or people living with dementia who are not in our church and not in our family? Because I guarantee there are some in your community.
There's always going to be someone to reach out to, and with our ageing population, it won't be too hard to find someone who needs a little extra TLC. Hey, 1-800-316-316 to join in our conversation. Let's take another call. Jenny is in Rockhampton in Queensland. Hey, Jenny, welcome.
Hi, how are you going?
Very good. What are your thoughts?
Well, we've just lost parents on both sides of our family. Recently, we lost our 97-year-old mum, and we nursed her to the point where she left us at home. We have fortunately we have a few family members, and some of us would travel down to the sunny coast for her, and some of us that. Those that lived there would do their little bits in between. She stayed in her own home. She had lots of love and cares and things like that, so it was good. She wanted to stay in her own home. So we did our best. And at the point where she needed end-of-life care, we were able to give it to her in the home. So we did that for her. But we've also got the opposite, where my husband's parents said they didn't want to burden us. And they shifted far away from us, and we haven't been able to care for them. So, and then when they needed us, we couldn't be there, and they needed to shift out of a retirement village. Well, we run our own business, and that was a big burden on us. Like, if they, we asked them a while ago, can you shift to Rocky and be close to us, and they would do it.
Jenny, wonderful thoughts there. Ben, thoughts for Jenny?
Yeah, Jenny, I hear your pain. It's really hard, and it's wonderful that you're able to care for your mum, and really challenging having a loved one who is geographically a long way away from you. And it does limit what you can do. And look, care in the home is important, and care in care facilities is important. So it's both and both are hard. Both are really hard.
And the challenge, again, coming around that prevailing idea of not wanting to be a burden, and the recognition that we need to be able to see the value in each one, whether you're younger or whether you're aging, that you are valuable and that you ought to expect extra special care when you're growing older. Jenny in Rockhampton, thank you so much for your call. 1-800-316-316. Let's take another call. Mary is in Dalby in Queensland. Hey, Mary, welcome.
Hi there.
Hi, Mary.
I just want to say we had a lovely lady, 30 years missionary in the Solomons, and she got age dementia. But as soon as you mentioned prayer, she was right there with you. She could say the weirdest things before that. So that to me is hopeful when you start praying. And also, I'd like you to be in prayer for me. I'm 73. I went into hospital last year for 2 days in Longreach. Then I was RSDS to Rocky. Had salmonella and neurosepsis. Thankfully, the Lord's brought me through that. So I had a fair bit of medical backup, and I'm okay now. But my family, as soon as I do something for someone, couldn't somebody else have done that? And I want to emphasise James chapter 3 about the tongue, and I don't want to be downcasting them. But I'm put in a situation last night. I had hope to go home, back to Dalby, and I didn't have a credit card. Most places where you stay, they need a credit card. So I'd rung a couple of rallies. They weren't on deck. And so I slept in my car in a safe street that I was familiar with. I slept for 7.5 hours, then took my P&G sister to the international airport, and now I'm just dropping off some books to go to Vanuatu, and then I'm going home.
Mary, we are going to take a few moments to pray for you and for others that might be experiencing some really tough times right now. But I'll just bring that back to Ben. Ben, as we're talking with Mary here, and she's talking about the missionary and 30 years as a missionary, and when you pray for her, there's some triggers and things that happen in there in the way that you can communicate with someone who's not really very communicative. Any thoughts here around those lines?
Yeah, dementia's a funny disease, and funny is probably not quite the right phrase. But some people who've lost the ability to speak can still sing. And they think it's because there's different parts of the brain that have been affected. But I remember when I first started as a chaplain, there was a gentleman who was a Baptist pastor, and he was basically nonverbal. And I tried various things. I tried Bible reading with him. I tried walking with him. I tried singing hymns with him, and really wasn't getting terribly far. And offered to pray with him, and he said yes. And I prayed a very short, classic dementia prayer. Lord, thank you for this gentleman. Blah, 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 amen, sort of two sentences stuff. And then he started to pray. And his prayer had a depth and a richness and a power that was beyond my understanding. This guy couldn't speak to me, but he could still talk to God. And that's a great privilege.
That's wonderful. And Ben, I've still got Mary on the line, and she's obviously in her own hard space, but she's got a heart for these various ones who are aging too, and I'm wondering whether you might like to lead us in a short prayer for Mary. Mary, is that okay if we ask Ben to pray for you?
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
All right, Ben.
Father, we bring Mary before you. She's got health issues. She's got relational issues. It's really complicated and hard. She's got financial issues. Lord, we thank you that you know her, you love her, and you are drawing her to yourself. And I'm in Stanthorpe, Neil's in Brisbane. We can't physically help, but we know that you help, and you are not limited by geography. Amen.
Mary, the Lord's richest blessing on you. Expect some doors to open. Expect others to gather around you. Expect to hear and feel something of the health, presence of the Lord.
My health is 100%. I can't be any more grateful. I'm getting back to
wonderful.
RI. I usually do about 7 classes a week. I'm very passionate about RI, where my ancestors come from in Gympie. They've got about 2,000 archives and the parents, no teachers.
Mary, you're an inspiration, continuing to serve the Lord in a high level, even though you've got those challenges that you're working through. Mary, thanks so much for your call. Let's squeeze in one more call. Let's hear from Laura, who is in Brisbane. Hey, Laura, welcome.
Hi, Neil and Ben. How are you doing today?
Very good, Laura. What are your thoughts?
So I'm an occupational therapist and dementia consultant. I've actually touched base with Ben recently via LinkedIn, been listening to the talk, which is really insightful. The main two things that I wanted to share were my thoughts on that. Dementia doesn't define a person. Quite often, unfortunately, people end up getting a label on them and that then tends to define them and how people treat them. And then secondly, which is really important, that people can live well with dementia with the right support. Because so often people are so afraid of, you know, once they get a diagnosis, what that means for them. But just knowing that, yeah, with the right support, people can have that great quality of life. And that obviously includes, you know, looking after their spiritual needs as well, which you know, obviously a big part of Ben.
Ben?
I can only agree with you, Laura.
Laura, wonderful insights there. And, you know, this is the thing, isn't it? People are valuable. They're not defined by their dementia. And that is a wonderful insight to be able to bring, Laura. Really appreciate that so much. Thank you so much for your call.
All right. Thanks so much. Have a good day.
Thank you. Hey, time is now running short. Just to come back to the three P's that you mentioned, because we said, let's keep this nice and practical, Ben. Those three P's, prayer, presence, just turning up, and pastoral care, looking out for those things that you can love those people through when they are suffering dementia, when they're in aged care or growing older. And just to pick up too, just other practical insights, to lead the prayer, because if someone has had faith, sustaining that faith may not be as hard as you might think, because if you simply lead a prayer, that will be a trigger. I know you like to talk too, Ben, about telling stories from the Gospels or telling stories from history, whether it's John Newton or Corrie ten Boom, Susanna Wesley. Those sorts of stories are also powerful. And if those people who are in aged care, those people who are suffering dementia, if they've been familiar with those stories, they can really have a wonderful experience in their own faith in those moments.
Very much so. And also, I would suggest, particularly for people who've had faith for many years, getting them to tell you the stories of how God's touched them in their lives. And that's encouraging for us as a listener, but also encouraging for that person to look back and say, God looked after me when I was 12. He looked after me when I was 50. He looked after me when I was 80. I can look back and give thanks retrospectively, but also look forward saying, He's cared for me then. He cared for me then. He cared for me then. Yeah, life has got some hairballs on it at the moment. But He cares for me now too. And that's really powerful.
So a little bit of thought before you're visiting your loved one, an aging parent, an aging grandparent, or someone who's attached to your church, maybe they're in an aged care facility. A little bit of thought ahead of time will maximize the opportunity you have there to bring faith into their experience. And just quickly, as we tie things together here, when you are bringing faith into the thoughts of someone who has dementia, what does that do for their hope, for their personal recognition of their own value? What does it do for the person when you're talking faith, when you've got a person who's got some dementia issues, Ben?
It can be, it's like for anybody. It can be greatly encouraging, and at times it can be greatly challenging for us. For all of us throughout life, we all need that encouragement, that challenge, that Christ's love expressed in a multitude of ways, in story, in scripture, in prayer.
Well, it's wonderful to be able to give some attention today to those who are growing older, and you might be one of those who's in an aged care facility. And I know that there are a lot of people who are in older age brackets that do find that listening into vision, listening into 2020 is a real benefit in the way that they are just making sense of the world as well. It's not only younger people who are listening in to vision. Ben Boland is an aged care chaplain. He writes extensively, and he's going to be a part of this global webinar. Let me just mention this because there might be listeners who are thinking, you know what, I need to get on this steep learning curve and understand this a whole lot more deeply. Well, an organisation, the Marsh Centre for Chaplain Studies, in partnership with B.H. Carroll Theological Seminary, hosting a very special webinar. It's entitled Ministering to Those with Dementia. So to be able to participate in that webinar, wherever you might be listening, right around Australia, the website is bhcarroll.edu, bhcarroll.edu, and you'll find a link there to that webinar. You can connect with Ben. He's got a YouTube channel, Jesus Love in Aged Care on YouTube. You can simply do a search for that. You can connect with Ben, as one of those callers did, found Ben on LinkedIn and connect with Ben. And Ben also co-wrote the Jesus Loves Me book, available through Hammond Care and the Bible Society. Ben, I want to thank you so much for taking some time to share your thoughts and your heart with us once again today on 2020.
Neil, it's always a privilege to be with you and with the listeners.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.